The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Young F.A. Holmes. These niggas so scary, won't let them bury me. That's why I keep my 30, I shoot like Curry. And boy, I'm getting money, I'm getting money. These niggas hilarious.
All right, welcome back to Don V Fridays. This is a very, very special edition. Right back, 24 hours later, we back in the building. We got Drift in the building. How you living, boss?
Doing good, man. We got a huge guest today. This is a long time coming. Trey, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the people?
What's going on, Hokie Nation? Everybody else listening, it's Trey Turner, a former Virginia Tech wide receiver, 2018 to 2021. I went by Big Play Trey. I was number 11, so I don't know. I guess I had a pretty big role in the state of Virginia and the city of Blacksburg.
Oh yeah, fucking golden child, baby. Does anybody who doesn't know who Trey Turner is, I don't know where you listen to this podcast.
Right. Right. One of the GOATs. And that number 11. Listen, Darrell Roberts, Kendall Fuller, Xavier DB. You held
straight,
down a good leg.
Straight legends in that number, man. I had to rock it the right way.
Oh yeah.
So you originally from North Carolina, Greensboro, correct?
Yeah, I'm from Greensboro, North Carolina. Came straight from there, straight up to Blacksburg. A little 2-hour drive, so it was really away from home, but it wasn't that far away from home at the same time.
Did you go to any Tech games growing up since you were so close?
I mean, honestly, whenever Mook Reynolds, that's who we grew up together. So whenever he first came to Virginia Tech, ever since his first game versus Ohio State, I really watched every game from there on. My first game I went to was Beamer's last home game, which was UNC game. I remember Tech wore all black. That was my first time in Lane Stadium, man. It kind of like just stuck with me from there. So every time from there on, I got more and more heavily recruited when Flinte's staff came in. Coach Wiles, Coach Wiggins, they were on me heavy. So I was really there from junior and senior year. I was really there most weekends, most home games. I was at the game, so it became home pretty quickly for me.
Yeah, walk us through you and Mook's relationship growing up. Like, you guys play since you were kids? how'd it happen?
All right, so our older brothers played. They played rec together. They played rec basketball together. They went to middle school, high school. Like, they went through the whole school together. And me and Mook were always the younger brothers, so we were always around each other just growing up together. We weren't on the same team really ever until we were supposed to play together in at Virginia Tech my freshman year. That was really supposed to be our first time teaming up for the senior year. So that was our relationship. Then sophomore year, I ended up telling Hendon wherever he committed to, that's where I was going to go. And so me and Hendon, that connection started. So me, Hendon, Alan Tisdale, DJ Cross, we all pretty much came up here just to play with Mook Reynolds. Honestly, that was like something like a big deal for us coming out of Greensboro. That was like one of the biggest athletes coming out of our city. And we all just wanted to spend we all wanted to spend the year with him. Hendon had more years than us, but for us three, me, DJ, and Allen, we really wanted to spend that year with him because he was like really like somebody we looked up to on the field, because he was really one of the best players you could ever see on the football field. So
Mook came on here and said like he was the plug.
Nah, yeah, Mook was the man for real. Like, he really was. Like, when we first saw he was playing up here, like Virginia Tech was in our top without even having an offer. Like, we wanted to come to V-Tech. That was what we wanted to do. So,
yeah, he started that whole NC to VT movement was all him. I mean,
yeah, it was a wave.
It was a wave. It was probably the only like out of state big wave we had recently.
Yeah, we got a lot of us from North Carolina. Big names like Caleb Farley. Yeah, Dax. Me and Dax really were going to school together too. So Dax, like Dax's commitment to VTech really turned it all the way up. So NC to BT was really like the pipeline for a minute.
Adonis Alexander, man, y'all boys was coming in droves around this motherfucker.
Oh yeah. It was a lot of outstanding talent from the state of North Carolina that came in.
How Sean, I think he's from Rocky Mount.
Yeah, I was from 2-5.
Yeah, man, y'all boys was coming.
There's many more from North Carolina too. I mean, even Brock from North Carolina, Brock Hoffman.
Yeah.
So it's like we just that pipeline just became so strong, and then I don't know. I feel like that was really like the only powerful one that we had during my time being there.
Yeah, nah, y'all boys was coming down. Y'all ever had like a not like a beef, but like a fun rivalry with like 757 boys? Was it ever like?
Oh, of course. You're not supposed to talk about locker room talk, but that was one of the conversations that was often spoken on in the locker room. Like, we would always talk about how like our best players are from North Carolina on the team, but then you got the 7-5 talking about, nah, we got the best players, we the best athletes, but we just telling it how it is. Like, the ones on the field is from North Carolina, bro. Like, it's a simple conversation. It was all beef, but it was fun beef at the same time because we was all brothers at the end of the day.
Yeah. What? So obviously you chose Tech, but if you couldn't go to Virginia Tech, where else did you want to go?
Man, I don't know. I never really had like the. I'm not gonna say that because my older brother played basketball at UNC. So I mean, of course, like me being that's my brother, like that's where I wanted to go. But my mom shut that down from before it even started.
Why did she shut it down?
My brother's situation with basketball and all everything that he had went through and with their athletic director, my mom didn't want me dealing with nothing that went on there because that whole deal just didn't go good for us and our family and our situation. So she didn't want to deal with them and sending me up there to deal with the same people. So she had the same conversations and all that. So I don't know. She shut that down, made it a dead mission. So it was really between it got down to Virginia Tech and Florida State, honestly. Florida State, I was really recruited basketball heavy. I sat in Leonard Hamilton's office down there, official visit. Like you know, it was like my mom singing in his office. Like it was a good vibe down there. But end of the day, it was 9-10 hours away from home. It wasn't ideal for me. Like I could have played both sports down there and thrived, but being that far away from home wouldn't have been cool for me. Like, just not being able to access my family whenever it's a real emergency, boom, I can drive 2 hours away. Like, that was smooth. That's why I really Blacksburg was the perfect spot for me.
Did Tech ever ask you to play basketball? Was there ever a conversation about that?
There was conversation. there was conversation before my freshman year, before I got there.
Was that conversation with Buzz?
It was Buzz, Twitter. Buzz, Fuente, et cetera. That mission was kind of dead after my freshman season, because I guess I don't know if anybody was expecting me to do what I did my freshman year. So really, I sat down in my end of the year meeting, and me and Fuente, we just kind of locked in on like, yeah, football is the focus. I need to get my strength up. I need to focus on football because I can be something special on the field. And, no, I just had to agree with it. It's not like I'm just telling my head coach, I want to play. I'm not gonna do that. Like,
especially after that freshman season, yeah.
Yeah, like at that point, it was just like, all right, I'm gonna do whatever it takes to make sure I stay on the field. So I had to take that sacrifice and drop the game. So that was cool. I mean, it's not like I regret anything, like at all. Yeah. Like,
Eric Kuma came on here and he said that if he was you, he would have tried to be a one and done in basketball.
I'm telling y'all, Kuma was my big brother before I even got up here. Like, Kuma, when I was on visits, he was telling me, like, bro, do not come up here and play football. Like, go hoop. He was telling me, go hoop somewhere, bro. Just go get your bread. Like, you can go play 1 year of basketball and go to the league. Like, this is like what he's telling me on my visits. Like, I'm committed to Virginia Tech to play football at this time, bro. So Kuma, like that was all fun and games. But then when I got up here for my freshman year, like in hotels, Kuma was my roommate, and he was still just telling me he was my travel roommate. So every time we travel, like Friday nights, that would be like my roommate. But every time, like he would just be talking about how like
I shouldn't have been playing football. He just be telling me how I should have hooped. But I'm just like, yeah, but can't look back on it now. Nah, that's my dog.
Eric Cooper, a whole legend out here, bro. Shout out, bro.
He's got the elite Twitter account, man.
Man.
Out of all of them. He's got the best, guaranteed.
I mean, the only people that don't follow Kuma be haters. Like, people right. just be haters on the timeline, bro. People take it too seriously. They take everything to heart. I don't be understanding. I just be weak on the timeline because I can't say too much. Like, it just amazes me how Kuma gets everybody to move like that. And they just try to base it off just because he transferred. But, like, I don't know if
people he still loves Tech so much.
Yeah, people don't understand. Like, people that left. A lot of my old teammates that left Tech still got so much love for Tech. Like, they still love Virginia Tech. They love coming back to Blacksburg. Like, this was a home for everybody. But, you know, certain situations went for certain people, and they had to get up out of here. So,
I mean, even Trayvon Hill, he came out and said the same thing after everything that happened to him. He still loves Virginia Tech.
Oh, yeah. Because it's like, I mean, I don't know. It's just like that feel. When you're up here, you grow up. It don't matter how long you're here. Like, you could be here for 3 months. And you're going to grow up quick in that 3 months. Like, you see stuff differently up here. And, like, I don't know, it's a good family vibe, Blacksburg.
So you've been back a couple times this year, right, already?
I'm back up here. I just moved back up here just recently.
Oh, really? So how long are you staying in town for?
I mean, I'm here. I'm working out, training for the XFL draft in November. That season starts up in January. So I'm just up here training, staying low. I wanted to get out of town from back home because I don't know, it's a lot of stuff they can get you off track there. Right. Just being up here, I can focus more, just be in my own space of mind, do my own thing. So I don't know, I just feel better up here. So I'll be up here for the rest of the season, honestly.
Yeah, no, listen, I stayed in your city, Greensboro, North Carolina, for 3 weeks. I used to be a scaffold builder. I used to be a builder,
mm-hmm. All right.
And I was working out of town. And I was in a Waffle House. I don't know how many Greensboro got, but I was in a Waffle House. And I was like, what y'all do around here? And the waitress was like, you can go to G-Ho. I said, what the fuck?
Greatest one coming on earth.
You go to G-Ho. I mean, I was living in D.C. at the time. It's definitely Howard, my boy. I don't know, disrespect. It's definitely Howard.
I mean, I hear you.
But she was like, you go to G-Ho. I said, what is that? And she was like, it's homecoming, something like that. And she was like, but I'm going back to Houston, Texas anyway. I don't even like living right here.
See what I'm saying? Like, don't nobody want to be in Greensboro, but, like, people be in Greensboro. But, wait, right. Back to what you were saying, though. You been to G-Ho before?
Excuse me?
Have you been to G-Ho before?
No, I only been to Homecoming.
All right. You can't say anybody's better than theirs until you go to it.
What makes it so good? What's so special?
I don't know, bro.
You got to be there. You just gotta be there, bro. I got some power home stuff I can't speak on.
in my younger days, I'm an old head now. I don't go to homecoming, but when I was out here, homecoming really used to
when you was out in the streets for real.
When I was out here, yes, a young lad from small town Virginia going up to DC.
Okay.
Seeing teams. Your first game was at Florida State. Ironically, you said you would consider going there.
Crazy.
The atmosphere on TV, I was in Crystal City watching the game. I wasn't at the game. The atmosphere seemed crazy. Did you seem overwhelmed, like, as a playing in your first game? Like, or was you built for it, meant for it?
Yo, that's the first time I ever felt, like, butterflies before a game. Like, that was the first time ever. But at the same time, as soon as I, like, stepped on the sideline when the clock started, like, I was ready to get on the field. Like, I was really ready to play against them because I'm like, yo, it's all black. Like, the crowd turned, like, it's a night game, raining a little bit. So, it's going to be in my advantage because I like bad weather games. Like, that was always fun for me. But, like, when I was just turned to be out there, I'm young. I'm 18 years old, just really ready to get to it. Like, it was really nothing but that. Like, I had butterflies during pregame warm-ups and all that. But, you know, I had Coach Wiggins back then. Coach Wiggins was like I'm not gonna say he was like my father, but he was like a father figure for me up here because, like, that was my receivers coach. I was 18. I was a young, like, people. I mean, my old teammates tell you my beginning of my freshman year, I wasn't doing things I was supposed to be doing the right way. Like, I was late for meetings. I'd be missing stuff. Like, I had to have a conversation with Fuente, like, my first semester. He was telling me that if I mess up again, like, he's really gonna be done with me, and I'm gonna have to find a different school. Like, that was my first semester, so I really had to have that snap back to reality. Okay. from Wiggins. Wiggins really owned me. Like, we met every single day at 3:30 my freshman year. So just having him on the sideline with me that game, I don't know. I kind of just felt comfortable as soon as I was, as soon as the clock started, I was comfortable, ready to get in. They put me in the first drive for one play. I don't know if anybody noticed, but the first drive of offense, they put me in the game for one play. I subbed in for Dame, and then he came in and got me the next play. I had to block. I just blocked. But then I'm like, it's Levante Taylor. Like, this is a big deal for me, because, like, I'm a young boy. I'm watching film. I'm watching college football. Like, I watched him last year go crazy, but it's like, I'm looking at who I was just watching on YouTube. Like, cool, I'm ready to go for it. But that was a cool experience. And then I don't know, that the one catch I had that game, that turned it all up for me. Shout out to Josh Jack. That all turned it up for me though.
Shout out to Josh Jack. That receiving core, of course, Wiggins was coaching. That was like the last great. Like, y'all was deep. That core, it was you, Hezzy, Dame, Kuma. Yeah. Sean Savoy, I think. Who was he going on? But that like, nah, was deep as hell.
Look, so our first three was Dame, Hezzy, Kuma. Then it was Phil Patterson, Savoy, right. Me. Like, that was our second three.
Phil Patterson was so underrated too.
Yo, Phil Patterson was a problem. Like, Phil Patterson was one, like, whenever it came to, like, who I was taking notes from in practice, I'll watch Damon Hazleton and I'll watch Phil Pettis every single practice, I promise you. Like, because those are, like, two receivers that are big body but can move like they're slot receivers. Like, the footwork is
every contested ball, too, yeah.
Every time. Like, and it's like, I don't know. Sometimes you just never know why people not on the field. But I never question coaching. That was never in my control, so never. So I just let it all happen. But it was that core in 2018 was so crazy, and I just really wish, like, I wish we could have really used it how we were supposed to, because I don't know. I just feel like we could have – we aired the ball out, but we could have did more. And then we could have kept that group together too.
And yeah. shout out Coach Wiggins. He in Bama now. He's living good, shit.
Man, I mean, if you really look at what Wiggins did, like, Tavion came here. Tavion was Wiggs recruit. Wiggs recruited him before, like that. Tavion committed before Wiggs left.
Like, okay.
You know, Wiggs had something brewing here. Like, that was really what he wanted to do. He had a room that he wanted, but I don't know. He moved on to something bigger and better, and that's my dog. I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of me coaching Heisman's, went to college winners. Like, he the man.
Yeah.
Multiple first round picks.
Yeah. He putting three, four first round receivers every year, chilling. Now he's doing great.
And he great the man.
Teams.
And he the man.
Did you notice anything after Wiggins left, as far as coaching, X's and O's, ways, anything? Any drop off? Any? Did he get better? What was it like?
I don't really know. I ain't gonna say.
Oh, okay.
It was a drop off right after that, because Coach Williams came in. And he coached us. I mean, he was a good coach as well, but they were two different coaches at the same time.
Okay.
Like Wiggins was more of a like, he really, like, as a person, he would talk to you as a person, like a real person, and outside of football, like, you would have real conversation. But then like some guys would tell you that, like, when the new coach came in, that he would just have conversations that the head man would be making him have. Like, he wouldn't tell you how it really is. Like, that. Like, that's how some people felt about it. But, you know, everybody, like, look, I couldn't give my personal opinion because coaches were real with me. Like, it was all real conversation with me. Like, that's how it went. Like, I always wanted the real talk and always got the real talk. But I just don't know. I don't think – I'm not going to say it was a drop-off because, I mean, you know, after that 2019 season, then I think that's when – Coach Mitchell and Coach Wiles ended up going NC State.
Yeah.
And then that's when everything got kind of shifted.
It got crazy. When that COVID hit
and that 2020 started, and that's when everything got a little shaky. That's when everything got a little shaky.
So you would say COVID definitely played a role?
The only reason I say COVID played a role is because we didn't have spring ball. You got to think, we started
back football in July. Like that's what started back up mid-July. And at that point, that's when you got to rush and try to figure out what you want to do with your team, what identity you want to have, what plays you're going to run, what schemes you're going to run. I don't know. It just felt like it was too much going on for everybody to handle. And I don't know. Things kind of got all over the place. It got all over the place. And that was before the season, during the season. I don't know. It was too much. I mean, COVID was a lot.
Was a lot going on, definitely.
Throughout the week, three COVID tests y'all was gonna play or not. You get what I'm saying? Like, before the season started, we having conversations in the locker room, you know, like, are we going to have a season? Like, are we – who's opting out, who's opting out? Like, because that's when Caleb opted out, boom, boom, boom. So everybody talking about who's going to opt out, who's going to opt out. Conversation go back upstairs. Like, it was a lot of stuff that went left and right. Like, it was a lot of stuff that was real different that 2020 year. But that was just because, I don't know, it was a lot going on. That COVID really just had everybody thinking about a lot, I'm assuming. Because you got three COVID tests every week. Every single week, you got to wake up Monday, Wednesday, Friday, take a COVID test. That Friday test, you don't even get your results back till the hotel on Friday night. So we got people that leave the hotel from Roanoke to go back to Blacksburg, or we be away at a game. They have to fly back from the game to Blacksburg. Like, it's like too much. Like, it's a lot. That was a lot going on. And just to play one game every single week, that was a lot. But I don't know. I mean, you know, the thing that everybody was saying is you gotta react. You gotta react to the changes and respond, and you know,
push through
the
shit,
hoorah, yeah. the hoorah talks. You know how it goes. Like, you had to adapt to different situations. That's the talk. But I don't know. I think that's when everything really started shaking up around here.
How weird was it to play in like empty stadiums?
Honestly, away games, it wasn't really that weird. Just not having fans in there, but just being in Lane Stadium and it not being as loud as it usually is, like, man, that was just I wouldn't even fun is not what it was at all. Like that 2020 season was like, I mean, it was fun just going through everything with your brothers on the team and going through fighting through the season and all that. But the fact that Saturdays we playing in empty stadiums, I don't know. I guess it's nothing because, you know, everybody's supposed to be focused on the game of football. Cool, like, I'm focused on the game of football too, but it's cool to have fans. Like, just like it's so cool to just see people turn, like, just see a whole 60,000, whatever number you playing in that week, like, just people just turn, just watching y'all play football, like, you know, that turn you up a little bit more. But I don't know. I guess that's just me sometimes. I don't know. Some people say they like not playing in packed stadiums. I don't know.
That's crazy.
I like going to away games with a packed stadium and just shutting the whole crowd up. Like, that was
right.
That was one of my most favorite things to do. Like, to go to away game and just score and just see the whole crowd just silence, like, just hurt, this feeling in their stomach, just hurt.
All right, because you was a UVA killer during your time. During your
No, that game turned me up every single year. I promise. Like I don't know. It was just a different feeling stepping in the locker room that game. Like, you're bringing everything you bring to the table. Like, you bring everything you got because, you know, they're going to bring everything they got every single time. And that's a rivalry. It's like a rivalry game, but same time, you, like, us here, like, we know we're supposed to win that game. Like, I don't know what they be thinking over there in Charlottesville. Like, I don't know if they think that they're supposed to win the game, but, like, that's not how it works. Like, it's a rivalry to where, like, we're supposed to still be owning the rivalry and winning the games. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I step in the locker room. Like, that's how I be feeling. Like, cool, we on a 15 years, 16, we on a streak. We beating them. We supposed to, man, that 2019 game, that hurt. That left me.
He was on their ass in that game, too, despite the result being what it was. He was on their ass, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you, though. I lost that game in a way.
Why you say that?
I lost that game. One of the final drives we were driving, Hendon threw. I ran the post corner, but Hendon threw it, and Noah Taylor, number 14, Noah Taylor jumped, and the ball went over his hands. I don't know if anybody really remember it, like, because it just happened. But I jumped and I tried to catch it, but like when I jumped, he didn't touch the ball. I'm thinking he's gonna touch the ball and make some type of contact with it, but the ball went straight through his hands. It went straight through his hands and boom, I dropped it. And that was like, I felt like that was a key point in the game. Like we was driving, boom, I dropped that. I don't think we put no points on the board right there. And I felt like that was, I don't know. It's a couple of games that when I had a drop pass, like I know that was the reason why we lost the game.
Nah, it's never on one person.
You can say that. You can say that. But the way that our offensive schemes work, like certain times I had, like if I didn't make that, if I would have made that catch, we would have won that game.
Yeah, I mean it's hard to not take on the chin like that.
I have to.
Right.
As a receiver, I have to. Yeah, right. I mean, I had
2018 UVA game. You had the infamous catch against Bryce. Bryce playing for the New York Jets right now. Take us through that play, because that's one of the most iconic plays in VT UVA history and the VT UVA lore, should we say. Take us through that play. Bryce playing in the NFL. I mean, he probably would have been a first round corner had he not got hurt, unfortunately.
Right.
But take us through that play.
Man. All right, so you got to think, I'm still a freshman. Like, I'm 18 years old, boom. We got Damon Hazelton at this point. We still have him on our team, but Dame wasn't playing for real. Like, Dame was hurt. He wasn't playing. He was just catching punts. Right. So I knew that personally, like, I was going to have to eventually get a fade ball that game. And as soon as I seen the play call come in, like, that's when I knew I had to go make a play. And I lined up, like I saw Willis look out there, and I knew the ball was coming to me. Like I knew I had to make a play, but I also seen 34. Like still freshman, I'm thinking about the scout report. 34, boom, everything. You know, it's Bryce Hall. Like that's what I'm
he was nice. Hall.
Like he was nice, and he was strong. Like I'm little. Like he was strong, and I'm little. So it's like I'm gonna really have to bring everything I got on this one play right here. Like I know I have to. Because this is what's gonna make or break me right here. Like, that's what I'm thinking before that play even starts. So boom, go ahead, run up, get to him, get a little positioning. But the position I got, like I can't get my left hand like to where like I know like I can grab the ball but still hold him off. Like I had to hold him off my left hand. Like that was like at that point he was stronger than me and I knew like with my left I can make I could catch the ball with my right hand only. Like, I knew I had to hold him off my left hand. And the ball landed in my right hand. And it just stuck right there, and all I had to do was just tuck it. Like that's when I knew right there at that moment that I have arrived. Like that's when I knew. Like cool, like now everybody know who Trey Turner is. Like
that was it.
And I got up. I got up, and I don't even know what I was saying, but I was going insane. I blacked out. Like then we come down. They come down. They punt the ball, and I blocked the punt. Like it just felt like I don't know. I felt like ringing in my ears because. I'm young. I'm hearing the stadium just go nuts. And now I don't know. That just kind of started really my career. That's when I really knew like what I was going to be up here.
Yeah, I mean, I had that picture of that catch as my lock screen for like a year after that shit. That was so hype.
Still, my header on Twitter.
That was a lot of people. I had that as my header for a minute too.
That picture is pretty legendary.
That was tough.
I can't even lie. And then they played Mo Bamba in the stadium after that. Because
everybody went crazy.
I can't even cap y'all. I texted Fuente that week and I said, look, the music that we listen to in the stadium, not really gonna turn the boys up like that. So like, can we play this one song? Can we play this one song right here? I sent a Mo Bamba. I don't even think they played it in warm-ups. Before the game. But boom, after that touchdown, they played it. And I promise we went nuts on the sideline. Like that was one of my highlight moments of my life still to this point. Like I ain't never had no feeling like that.
When they texted the audio dude, told him to play that shit right now.
It's like that's like on 2K when they let you start picking the stadium sound.
You feel me? That's when I felt like, oh yeah, I'm the man. Like that's when I felt like I was the man as a freshman.
Nah, you was out here for real. Shout out to Shaq West, man, giving us that one classic.
Yeah. One hit, one thing. Legendary.
shout out to Shaq West.
That song went crazy, though, in that year, though.
Yeah, that song and Sicko Mode, you couldn't go There wasn't a white woman in within 10 miles listening to them two songs back to back to back to back. I was still in D.C. at the time. I couldn't avoid either song when I was going out. Oh. Shout out to all the white women. Yeah, what's a funny Fuente story? It don't gotta be bad. Just like, cause us fans don't know Fuente at all. We look at him as like a dickhead and fuck him and all this. Give us a funny Fuente story and him probably showing more personality and all that.
True. I'm trying to think. The thing is, all right. I say fun Fuente. I don't know. I wouldn't. You know when that whole fired up food movement was going on?
Yeah.
Like whenever he was turned, he would be turned the locker room like after like 2019. That 2019 season, that was probably the most like fun Fuente was like during the time of the week that I was there. Like, I don't know. It's not a lot of funny things that he would do. Like when it came to, he was just a cool, laid back man. Like Fuente is a dude. Like I got so much respect for him. Like that's still like one of the people I respect with my life. Like that was somebody took me under his wing and led me the right way. And I can never hate Fuente at all. Like that was, I love Fuente. I love Fuente forever. Like that's I'm always gonna make that known. But like I don't know. Whenever it just came to, it's just whenever it came to the whole football realm. I don't know. We just couldn't get it to work. We couldn't get it to work. And I don't know if it just got to a point where everybody would just give up. You know,
you get
tired of losing and.
When was that moment that you guys were like, all right, when you were like, all right, I'm tired. Like it's getting to that point. You know what I mean?
Coming from my perspective, you got to think, I can't ever be to the point where like, I'm done. Like, I can't show
right,
that.
Right,
I can't show that, but like, you always got the same, you got thoughts in your head that you're not going to just make open to everybody, you know?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you're human. I mean,
now that I'm really, I guess not playing there no more. I don't know. When we it was that 2020 season. We had lost the Liberty. And we had lost the Liberty. Really, he came in the locker room and told us what he was going to go tell the media, and then didn't tell the media what he told us he was going to tell them. And that was kind of like that kind of stung because it was like, all right, like. As one of his players, you're thinking that he really gonna go up there and tell him exactly what he just told like the whole team in the locker room, but he didn't do that. So
what was he supposed to tell the media?
I believe he went up there and told the media that he didn't think we had the right personnel on the field, so we had to call a timeout, right?
Right.
He came in the locker room and told us that he knew it was his fault. He's gonna take all the blame for this. And that he loves us, and he's so proud of us fighting. As we came in the locker room and told us, like, with like, really, I think he had tears in his eyes, honestly, because we was all hurting. Like, everybody was hurting from that L right there. But I just feel like he didn't go upstairs and tell them exactly what he told us in the locker room. So like me, that hurt. Like that left the steam because I'm like, as one of the like leaders of this team, like you just kind of didn't tell you just didn't tell the truth to everybody that I thought you was about to just do. Like so. I don't know. And then we lost some games that year we weren't supposed to lose. We lost a lot of games we weren't supposed to lose.
That Liberty game was crazy.
Crazy, man.
Shout out Malik. Did you think Malik Willis was him? Or would you like?
Oh, yeah.
With the, okay.
Oh, yeah. Look at him. I think he still is him. I think he still is him to this day.
He might be a starting quarterback by the end of the season.
Yeah, he might be stud. I mean, I'm just saying, in that moment, would you like that's the NFL quarterback right there?
Oh, when he came to Lane Stadium and went crazy?
Yeah.
That's when I knew that, yeah, he was that. But then at the same time, I was thinking, like will he still do this, like, in a packed Lane Stadium with all the offense in there? You know, you get what I'm saying? Like, right. I don't know if he would have still did the same exact thing, but at the same time, I feel like he would have still had the same performance because that man is nice. He was really good at football. So
yeah, he was supposed to be playing for Tech.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like he came in there with some vengeance. Like he came in there, he knew he wanted to win that game. He was gonna win that game regardless. Like I feel like that's how he came in. And he led his team to victory. Like you got a big shout out to Malik Willis. Like that's a big
shout
time
out
win.
To Malik Willis.
That's shout a big time win. Malik a very Willis. Painful L for us.
And we playing know. Liberty again in a couple weeks. You going to the game? You going to
Lynchburg? Liberty, right? I'm trying to get up there. I'm trying to get over there.
They might call it Lynchburg for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I might not go up there.
It's really named for that for a reason. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to the black people in Lynchburg that's still here.
I done seen some crazy stuff.
Shout outs. Oh, you played with a lot of quarterbacks during your time at Virginia Tech. Obviously, you played with Hendon Hooker, who's Heisman hopeful. You played with Josh Jack, Ryan Willis. You played with a lot of quarterbacks. Did you ever care that, you know, you ain't really get like year to year to year with one quarterback?
That's exactly what it is. Like, I'm at the end of the day, I'm just going ball regardless. Like, that's always what I'm going to do. Like, because I didn't have stability in high school. I had three different quarterbacks in high school. So it was already something I was going through before I even got up here. But then, like, just going through my college career, like, changing quarterbacks during the season, after the season, like, just all the, like, I just knew it was going to be something every season. I knew it was going to be something different every season. So I had to go ahead and just know, like, I'm going to have to adapt between on a week-to-week basis, like, which quarterback is going to be playing. Because you got to have some type of chemistry with your quarterback if you want to be successful on the field. Like, that's the way I feel about it. Because the way that our thing was working, we didn't really have a passing game. So it was like, whenever we did have a pass, like, I want to make sure it's completed. So I need to know which quarterback is going to be playing. So we can go on the indoor, go run some routes, boom, get this chemistry going. So we'd be comfortable on Saturday. But it was just like, I don't know. I just felt like it would have been cool to have some stability, like with a quarterback to like go for multiple years. Like, you just know, like, y'all both know what's going to happen, you know? And I just felt like.
Who is your favorite? That don't mean who's the best. It don't mean who's the best. I don't want to get controversial, but who is your favorite to play with?
Of course, I'm gonna say Hendon. Like we from the same city, so we came up here. Like really, we had a plan that we was gonna do, and we came up here and we really started doing it, and then it just got kind of just shut off. Like it just got it was like a dead mission. Like, and it wasn't even in our control at that point. So it was like, I don't know.
2020 got crazy.
Yeah, I just feel like that could have been crazy. Like, I feel like at this point we would have both still been in Virginia Tech. Like Tavion would still be here and all. Like I feel like that just would have been. Something that could have kept rolling, we could have actually won something. But I don't know. I guess that might just be me talking. I don't know.
What was the best offense?
Things out of your control. I mean, they had that heart situation or something like some type of illness.
Hendon had that going on, and then that's what led to Braxton starting that first game because Hendon couldn't play that first game. Well, at first he couldn't play the first game, but and you know everything went how it went, but. I don't know. This is like
it went the infamous Clemson game where they was trying to tell us he was cold. Now listen, I've been cold my whole life.
He's anemic. So it's like
that was some different shit.
Like, he was tweaking on the sideline, like tripping. And like I wasn't playing that game because I had the whole hernia and all that. But I'm telling like I'm knowing that like, he should not be going in the game. Like he should not be going in the game. Like he can't play. Like the way that he's shivering on the sideline, he cannot go out there and snap the ball and catch the snap. Like I know he can't do that. And he went out there and showed it both times. When they put him back in, that's when I was like, wow. Like they don't care. Like that was crazy to see.
Did Fuente know? Was it like a staff decision or was it just like the trainers?
Everybody that was standing on the sideline knew that Hendon was over there shaking like crazy. Everybody knew. You're not like everybody not going to know what's going on with their quarterback. Because you got to think about it as a team after that 2019 season. Hendon led us that 2019 season. So, you know, it's a lot of guys, you know, Hendon was our quarterback 2020. And those people that Braxton was their quarterback. So it was like you had people that was going to make sure to check on Hendon during the games. But like everybody knew what was going on with Hendon in that Clemson game because people were on the sideline really scared for him. Like making sure he was standing by the heater, or making sure like he was straight, but he wasn't straight. Like he could not get straight. Like he he was tripping on the sideline the whole time. They just put him back on the field. So, I don't know. That was crazy. That was just crazy to see it.
That shit was crazy. Some shit came. I saw Ox post something today. It was some as a result of some medication he had took.
I just seen that. I seen that though.
I mean, medication do be fucking people up. I'm living proof. Medication will definitely fuck you up. So everybody taking medication, it be side effects, man. Give us your Mount Rushmore Virginia Tech receivers. You can put yourself in it if you're arrogant like that, but we think you're a humble dude.
Hold on, put yourself in the
Mount Rushmore VT receivers.
Hold on. Drip asked me my favorite offense.
Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
Yeah, that while you were there, like what was the time that you thought you guys were at your peak? Best offense?
That's a good question. Cause I honestly feel like that 2020 season we could have been our best offense. Like whenever Hendon was in the game, like our offense really operated moving smooth. Like every time. Like we had Khalil Herbert in the backfield too, by the way. Like it was just so much that was going perfectly fine that year whenever Hendon was on the field. And then it would just switch. Like I don't know. It was just something every time that he was on the field. But I'm not gonna speak on that. But my favorite offense that was like boom, just solid all the way through the whole season. I mean, I would have to say that 2019, whenever Coach Kill came in and switched everything up, that's whenever everything really got smooth. Because that's when people hate the jet sweep, but that's when it was really, really rocking. That 2019 season, that's when
popping.
Yeah, that's when we was really digging. Like we was really running backs at that point. But
what did he really switch up that made things different?
Well, I mean, when he came in, our old line got more physical and we got more positive rushing yards. That's all I do know. Everybody in the trenches and our running backs, everybody changed the way that they was playing and everybody was running way harder. And as receivers, we was blocking way harder too, because like we knew that if we wasn't gonna block, we wasn't gonna get the ball. So we was out there blocking, throwing our old bodies and anybody. Like that's how it was. That's when really 2019 felt like we was really like some dogs. Like that's when it felt like we was all dogs on the field, because we was all really going at war every single play.
Yeah, shout out to Jerry. Did Jerry Kill, was he about to fight Corn for real? Or was that like an urban legend? Was he about to put hands on him?
No comment.
Shout out Jerry Kill, bro.
Hey, next Coach Kill was the man, though. That was my dog. That is my dog. Like his, we built a relationship as soon as he got here, and that was just when he came to visit. And then he ended up coming back and coaching. Like that's when I was certain when he came back and started coaching. Like that's when really turned me up, because his like him as a person, he is really old fashioned. Like you gonna get that real conversation out of him every single conversation. Whatever you don't want to hear, Coach Kill gonna say it. Like, and you gonna have to respond. Like that's how it was. So that's when everybody nuts was dropping left and right. So I don't know. That 2019 offense was crazy to me.
Yeah, my one of my mans from Columbia, Maryland, he played for Jerry Kill at Minnesota. He was a pass rusher though. And loved Jerry Kill. Didn't like PJ Fleck at all. You know. So shout out to Jerry Kill.
Shout out Coach Kill.
Yo, Rushmore VT receivers. You can be in it if you arrogant like that or not. You get four slots.
Okay.
Putting in your VT Mount Rushmore wide receivers.
All right. I got Isaiah Ford.
Okay.
That's tough right there. So because Bucky can't.
We'll allow it.
Bucky counts receiver.
Yeah, we'll count him.
Bucky still big as fuck too. I saw him at the game.
Yeah. All right. I ain't gonna do that. I'm gonna go Isaiah, Eddie Royal.
Okay.
It's hard. So it's hard. One more. It's hard not to say Andre Davis because of the stats that he put up. Like it's hard not to say him.
Okay.
And then
you only get four, Chief. You filled it up.
Nah, because I
Isaiah,
I took Bucky off there.
Oh, you took Bucky off. Okay.
Yeah. Because then when you think about Cam Phillips' numbers.
Cam Phillips is a dog.
That's when it really get crazy, because Cam Phillips
shout out Cam.
His numbers are crazy. So I definitely say that's my four right there. Isaiah, Eddie, Andre, Cam.
And Cam. Now, you know, Eric Coleman is a listener of this podcast. You know that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
That's the thing about my Rushmore. Somebody gonna get left off. It'd be like that. Shout out to Josh Morgan was a dog. We had Marcus Davis on here a couple months ago. Marcus Davis was one of the ones. He was nice. About 6'3", 6'4".
It's a lot of good receivers that came through here.
Yeah. And big facts. Corey Fuller. Shout out to Corey Fuller. Man, it was a whole lot, man.
Exactly. That's why there's no way I can put myself on the Mount Rushmore after everything that came
before. You up there, though. The thing is, we can put you in it, but you can't put you in it. It's kind of a dick move. Like, even though you would be telling the truth, it's...
See, the only reason why I wouldn't put myself on the Rushmore is because touchdowns. I ain't have as many touchdowns as a lot of the receivers that had. Like, I mean, it was seasons I go three touchdowns, three receiving touchdowns, two rushing touchdowns. Like, I have a rushing touchdown and four receiving touchdowns. Like, I don't think I ever had four receiving touchdowns in a season.
You think the fans remember all that? I know Isaiah had a lot of touchdowns. I do remember that.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. A lot of them receivers had a lot of touchdowns.
I know Cam. Cam I know. Had I think a ton. Cam is like number two all time, something like that. I don't know, bro.
I might have more receiving touchdowns than Damon Hill.
Yeah, because Dame had one. Like, and that's
crazy. And that's crazy. Dame played here for 2 years.
Yeah.
If that, not even a full two seasons.
Yeah, shout out to Damon Hazleton. A legend out here.
Big shout out, big bro, Dame. D-Haze.
Like, he came out of nowhere too, because I remember when he came in from the portal from Ball State. He was like, okay, we're gonna see what bro got. And then that FSU game, he straight sun Levante Taylor on that first. I was like, Thank you.
Okay. Dame was a problem. Dame, he still is a problem. He in Houston now. He still is a problem. I mean, it's still not a receiver that I've seen a move like him at that size. Like, with my own eyes in person, like, being able to watch that every day.
And I was like, Jesus Christ. And you know, Levante, he's from Virginia Beach. I'm like, you know, Virginia Tech fans, like, I'm pretty sure you know by now, but if you're from the 757 and you a five star and you don't go to Tech, they do not like you.
Yeah. So, for sure.
When Dame did that shit, that. The timeline was like, yeah, 757 boy, get his ass. Son, don't. Oh, they love that shit.
Dame, they love
that shit. And then that like, you can be from, like, Northern Virginia, D.C., and be a five star and get son, they don't care. But if you from the 75, and you give it up, Pookie put on your ass. Oh, you don't think they wanted Tony Grimes to get some shit up? Oh,
shit. All right, no. I already know about it, how they feel about Tony.
Shout out Tony Grimes, man. Shout out Tony Grimes. You get caught up in the UNC BT Twitter beefs, the rivalry. Is it a rivalry to you?
Is it a rivalry to me? I mean,
yeah.
I feel like my standpoint is different because I'm from Greensboro, North Carolina. So right. As like when I think
and
about
your brother
North
played Carolina,
exactly. So when I think about North Carolina fans, I feel like they feel like I was supposed to go there. So it always felt like it was always some hatred. Like it always felt like it was hatred between me and them just because I didn't go there. So to me, it felt like a rivalry. Like it felt like something that I was looking forward to every single year. But when it comes to like us overall as like a program. Playing UNC, I wouldn't really call it a rivalry.
Okay.
I really wouldn't. I don't know why. No,
I don't think so either. It's a lot of jealousy.
You don't think about that game the way you think about the UVA game. So I couldn't call it a rivalry at all.
All right. You watched the game last week?
Did I?
Them boys got their ass kicked.
It does happen.
Oh, but you're an expert on the team. Like, What needs to change? I mean, losing is losing. It happens. But like when you get your ass kicked like that, something got to change, right? What needs to change?
The thing is, all right, it's gonna sound crazy coming from me. But like I don't think a lot of things need to change. Like, because okay. The thing is, I don't think Grant Wells is a bad quarterback. I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I don't, and I never have thought he is. But also, I feel like when it comes to like I'm on the outside looking in now, like, so I'm not really, I don't know what's going on in the locker room and everything on a daily basis. But I feel like sometimes like the teams don't have like the like they don't have like that drive, that it factor, like everybody's like on the same page, everybody ready to go, like everybody locked in, boom, like for a whole game. Like, you know, I feel like sometimes whenever other teams score, like we just kind of like yeah, you know, like it's a different like I feel like they shouldn't be like that, because it's a different man running the team now. Like it's not the same thing that we were just going through. So right. I feel like now as long as if they just respond differently to like when they get scored on, then it'll be completely different. Like I feel like whenever defense when a defense give up a touchdown, boom, offense be already talking to each other on the sideline, boom. Hey, let's go, boom, let's go, touchdown on the way. I said that at the West Virginia game. I didn't see that. After the drives, I wouldn't see the receivers talking to the quarterback. And it's just like, I'm like, how can you have like a good connection for a full game if you're not talking to your quarterback? Because I know Caleb as a receiver. Like Caleb is a good receiver. Like Caleb is a really good receiver. Like, I promise you, Caleb's good. But Caleb knows that he used to be talking to his quarterback. Like Caleb would talk to Hendon during games. Like Braxton, like he would do that. But it's like they got a new quarterback and they're not communicating with him during the game, so it's not giving him more confidence to be out there on the field, ready to throw the ball to him. You get what I'm saying? Like it's like different things that happen between the games. Like when people are on the sideline, like that sideline talks give you more confidence to go back on the field and be ready for the next drive. If you're not talking to your team at all, like you just in your own head sitting up in the bench, like it's not gonna help anything.
Do position coaches kind of play a role in that to like bring people together to like have those conversations on the sideline, or is it more just players that kind of start that?
No, position coaches don't tell men to talk to each other. Like that's like grown men as grown men playing on the football field. That's when we supposed to go to each other. Hey, boom, let's tighten this up. You're supposed to know this point A, point B. You're supposed to know this. Boom, boom. That's when you talk man to man. Like that's man to man conversation. That's not your receivers coach tell you, hey, go talk to your quarterback. He's having a little rough time. Like, no, that's soft. Like that's when you're not really about it. Like if you're really about it, you're gonna go talk to your quarterback. Y'all gonna have a good conversation. Boom, on to the next drive. Get that out the way. Like that's how it's supposed to go. But I just feel like they don't have like this is like something missing. But I don't feel like Coach Bowen's calling the wrong plays. Like I feel like everything's supposed to be working smooth, but it's just like. I don't know.
So they just need to communicate.
Yeah, I just feel like the communication and the heart and the drive on the I just feel like the drive of everybody just need to be a little bit more. Like you get what I'm saying? I just feel like if everybody was out there playing like Dax, Shamari, you know, different players like them, I feel like that's when everybody like it's a lot of players are still there that's playing hard every single snap. But then there's some guys I see them jogging like not chasing the ball, not rallying to the ball. Like, it's like little simple things. It's like, why are you doing this? Like, what are you on the field for if you're not going to go hard? Like, that is like, I don't know. I just know they could do way better. Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say it's a talent problem, because I know like we have a talented group. Like, we really do. But it's like, they just got to show it. Like, they just got to be out there just wanting it. I just feel like some people just don't want it enough. I don't know. That's just me. That's just me thinking. That's outside looking in.
Listen, get on the ass. Shit, you know better than we do.
I don't know. I just feel like it'd be hurting. Like watching me, because I'm like, yo, like what's going on? Like I know this is not y'all. Like, I really know it's not y'all. Like I know this is not y'all are not playing like who I know y'all are. So fix it. Like I just want it to be fixed, because I know what we can do.
That's good. So you definitely believe in Brent Pry, his vision, his staff.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, that's a whole like they got real football coaches. They got coaches. They in the facility all day. Like they don't have the free time that we would have while we was here. Like it was, I don't know. it's different. It's different now. Like, it's a different vibe when you go in the whole facility. Like, he's changing everything around, making sure they get recruits in. Like, he's taking this thing to the next level. So, I don't know. If it takes a year, two or three, it's going to take a year, two or three. But it's not going to be – we're not going to be losers. Like, I know that's not going to be under him. He's not going to allow losers. That's what he's not going to allow.
Did Brent Pry and his staff, like, ever reach out to you and to tell you, hey, come visit, come back, come hang out? Like, did they initiate that relationship?
Right off the bat. Like, as soon as they announced it, boom, my follows on Twitter, follow back, like, all that. Like, DMs, it was cool. I was ready to come back up here and see them. So I knew when I came up for spring game, it was already a different vibe. And I came for practice. I came for a couple practices before that because they had told me I could stop by. But kind of just welcomed me with open arms. Like, it was like a whole family already. So it was like, I don't know. It's a different vibe with this coaching staff. And I really like it. I love it for the guys that really went through everything that we just went through with the last staff. And now they get the experience, like, what this college football deal is supposed to be like. You know what I'm saying? Like,
when you say different vibe, like, give us an example of, like, what you mean by, like, a different vibe. Like, is it just the way they talk to you, the way that they treat you, what they say to you? Like, what is it about the vibe that's different?
I wouldn't say it's about, like, how they treat me. But when it comes to, like, alumni and how they, like, really are doing recruiting and everything, like, they want to have those conversations with everybody. Like, it's not like they're shying away from certain people that they don't want to talk to or having personal beef. Like, they're not like any beef they have with anybody, they're gonna drop it for Virginia Tech. Like, that's how I feel like that's how this staff is. And I don't know, I might be wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong. Like, I just feel like this staff is all about Virginia Tech football, and they want Virginia Tech football to be great. And I feel like Pride, like, he started his coaching career here, so he wants this place to be. He wants this place to be champion. I feel like he wants the championship to come to Plattsburgh. Like, I feel like that's what he really wants. Like, and he's gonna make that happen.
Yeah.
So, like, that's like, man, I shout like out Coach Pratt. That's one of his goals.
Shout out, Coach Pratt. I wouldn't be doing my job if I ain't asked. The car ride to Miami.
Yo.
And the car ride back.
Yo.
It was hellacious, right? You could tell us it was fucked up. Like, you ain't gotta,
Cause you, if you think about where we were at that point in the season, it was like, yo, we just lost the Pitt. No. Who do we had just lost to somebody else? I believe. Who do we? I think it was Boston College. I think we had just lost to Boston College. Boom.
Okay. Yeah.
Fuente got fired. That I think that Tuesday is when he was done, and then we had to play Miami that Saturday. So right. we get told that Coach Price is gonna be our head coach, and me, I'm already knowing I got this crazy situation going on with my chest and all that. So I'm like, yo, like, I think I really have to play. Like, I really have to play just to, like, show everybody, like, we're not done. Like, I feel like we at that point we got five wins. Like, we really want to get to a bowl game. So I feel like me as one of the key players on the field, like, I feel like I had to be out there just to show the team, like, boom, like, our heart, we going to have this heart. Like, we're going to go out there and try to win the game. But when it came to that car ride, though, man, it was crazy because we stopped somewhere in the middle, like 5 hours away from where we were staying at. We slept there that night before, and then we woke up early and then finished the rest of the drive. But it was like, yo, like, the way the rest was going, like, sleep, I don't know. Like, I just feel like that was weird, like, to be in the car for that long period of time. And then I got hurt again during the game, like, coughing up blood on the field. So I'm like, yo, now I really got to get back in this whip and go back up to Blacksburg. Like, this is, like I'm blown. Like, because I played the first – I rode down in the whip to play for the first half. Like, after the game, I was really blown because I'm like, yo, I got to say bye to my family and go get in the whip. Like, I'm not going on the plane. Like, I can't fly. Like, that sucks. But it was right. at that point, it was really, I was doing whatever it took from, like, me and my team, like, really be on the same page, because, like, Coach Price was our interim head coach, but at that point, our coach was gone. Like, so it's like, us as players, we're going to have to all be on one page and be ready to rock. So, boom, I feel like that Miami game, I really had to go out there and play. But that car ride was atrocious, man. it was crazy. Like, I don't know.
Who all was in that car?
It was me, Zach Moss, and Alex Black, two of our athletic trainers. So, but they were listening to podcasts the whole time. I was back there on my phone doing my own thing.
Were they listening to Bobby Friday?
Nah, I was.
I highly doubt they were listening to all that. Fuck that, we probably was in that motherfucker snapping that week. They fired his ass.
Oh, that was crazy. Nah, that was crazy. I definitely remember that one. Cause I'm weak. I was weak because I don't know, bro. It was just so much going on, bro. I just wish, like, I don't know. I mean, looking back on it, like, it's like I wish they would like made that decision sooner. I guess not after. Eight games in the season? Like, we had, what, two games left? Like,
yeah.
If you're going to do it earlier in the season, mid-season or something, so we can have some type of identity throughout the season. Like, it's like, at that point.
Something to rally behind.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying? Like, at that point, it was like, we sunk. But then Coach Price, like, he really brought us back. Like, he took us on a walk on campus. Like, gave a great speech. Like, he was really telling us everything about Virginia Tech football that we were supposed to be knowing the whole time we was playing here, but we ain't never had the talks that he was having with us. And that's when I knew that, like, wow, like, it's really coaches that really care about Virginia Tech football heavy, like, and Virginia Tech as a whole that I didn't know. Like, I didn't know, like another realm to it. You get what I'm saying? Like
the true culture.
Yeah. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like Price Winger played here. Like, his heart is really in Virginia Tech. Like, in Blacksburg, he was telling us, like, from his heart, like, that true story about everything about him in Blacksburg. And it's like, you really felt that. So, when we listened to that speech, like, I feel like we really felt that, and we really rallied around him. So we won that UVA game.
I feel like, yeah, shout out.
Yeah, because it was right after that Miami game, you guys came back and beat Virginia.
They did that dumbass, like, tight end, offensive lineman screen.
yo, that was crazy. Like, I cannot believe they called that.
All them good ass receivers they had last year too. Oh my god.
Yeah, like, I don't know about that one. That was a dumb call for them, good call for us.
That was a head scratcher. To say the least.
Shout out Bronco.
Shout out Bronco. Bronco was checked out his damn self. Hey man, shout out to these head coaches that be checked out on the low step.
Shout out. They do it without anybody even.
So what's it on game day? What's in your headphones or your pods or whatever? What are you listening to on game day to get you ready?
I listen to Young Thug.
I listen to
YSL for real. So like Thug, Gunna, I throw on some Baby. But really, like the bus ride over like to the games, I play some Jay-Z. Like that's what I lock in to Jay-Z.
Okay.
So that's some smooth vibes on the way to the game. But then whenever you get out there starting to hope you walk, that's when I turn it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Go ahead, start getting turned. But on the field warm-ups wise, like when I get out there, that's when I just listen to straight Meek. I don't know. I like to switch it up every game day. So it'll be a different artist really every game, like on the field when it comes to on the field warm-ups. Like that's when I switch it up. But when it comes to on the bus, always Jay-Z. When it come to the walks and all that, the pregame, getting dressed and all that, boom. That's when I listen to Thug and all of them. But then when I'm on the field, that's when I just pick one artist and I just play him all the way through.
And I'm not wrong with that at all.
Nah.
So what's on the docket? You know? So what's in the future for Trey Turner?
Man, I mean.
Coaching.
I just started up a real estate course, so. I'm just trying to have a backup plan just in case football don't go how I want it to. But this XFL, hopefully I can do what I need to do in that league, get some good film and work my way back up to the league. Cause
there you go.
I don't know. Yes. I just feel like I feel like I'm pretty good at football. Like I feel like I can do this shit.
Excuse my language. Man, don't nobody listen to this podcast, bro. You good.
Shit, you legendary.
Our boy Jock trying to get into the XFL. Jacque Alim, and shout out Jacque, bro.
Yeah, shout out Jock.
He doing the same thing. He should be in the league too. He went to Montana State.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Drew?
Trey, what's the process for the XFL? Like, did they reach out to you? What's going on? How do you like get in and what's the workouts looking like? How does that all work?
Coach Jones up here, DB coach up here, Cheetah. Shout out to Cheetah.
he's cool. Somebody that's in the that's with the heads at the XFL. So he kind of really got me that connect, because the way it works is you have to talk to them and show them interest for them to start talking to you. They can't just come out and say, do you want to come play in the XFL? No. So I didn't know that. I guess that was a conversation that you and your agent don't have, because the agents, you know, they're NFL agents. So it's like,
right.
I feel like that's how that worked. And then they sent me the email saying that my name was put in the draft pool, and now I'm just waiting on it. So it's working.
When's the draft?
The draft is in November. So
okay.
Hopefully I have a new home at that point, and then January that's when the season starts. So I'll be tuned in, because I'm ready to go crazy.
The game, yeah, games.
If you get drafted to DC, I got to come up for a game. I used to live goddamn like 5-10 minutes from Audi Field when I was living up there. I know exactly where them boys play at. Yeah, shout out to the XFL. What was about to say, Drew?
I gotta ask, Trey, what's the best Virginia Tech uniform combination? If you could pick helmet all the way down to the cleats, what you picking?
Like one that I wore, or
all you could do one you wore or all time. Up to you.
I mean, when we go to one, when we talk about ones that I wore, we had the white helmet with the orange face mask. We had the white helmet with the orange face mask, with the maroon jersey with the white pants, white socks, white cleats. That was like one of my favorite combos. Then we came out beginning of this last season with the white helmets, orange with the white. That was tough.
UNC game.
Yeah, that was my first and only time wearing orange, because I didn't play the ODU game my freshman year. I didn't play in that Boston College game last year either. So that was my only time I got to wear the orange. I feel like that was probably my favorite.
But
when we talk about uniforms before me, that Hokie Stone was like, that was crazy.
The black Hokie Stone.
Oh, I don't know. I like the black better. I like the black better. The white was crazy.
The white.
Both of them were good, bro.
I'm saying. The white. I came to the game. We played Delaware, and we wore the white helmet and the white pants. That was tough too. But I feel like when I talk about the favorite between them two, I like the black. I like the black helmet, black pants. That one.
Yeah, for the Tennessee game.
Yeah, Battle of Bristol. Man, I wanted to go.
I had a bad experience that night.
Man, I wanted to go to that game, but they didn't know that they got recruiting tickets to like 2 or 3 days before the game. And I was already on the Miami list, because I was going to Miami for a visit that weekend.
Did anybody get to go to that game that committed to Tech?
I'm not sure. I never really asked.
That must have been a crazy game to go to. That atmosphere was
at the racetrack.
Yeah, at the racetrack.
Texas won by 90 points.
Man, that was crazy.
Fumbles, bro.
Crazy. That's why we can never wear arm sleeves on offense no more.
Really?
What?
That was a rule?
Yeah, did y'all ever realize that nobody on offense was wearing sleeves?
I kind of like wondered, but I thought maybe you guys just like didn't have.
No, like we weren't allowed.
Swag. I don't know.
Mook used to wear sleeves, but he played defense.
Mook played defense. You can look at a lot of defense players from the years I was there. Like you can look at all defense players. They would wear sleeves. They could wear sleeves all they want. Offense, we cannot wear sleeves. That was not allowed.
Even long sleeve shirts. You can wear.
The only time you could really do long sleeves is when we played at Pitt.
And it was cold.
That was really like the only time. Like. Because they didn't let me wear long sleeves my freshman year UVA game. I wanted to wear long sleeves. It was cold that game. Like, I remember that game, but nah, like we couldn't wear long sleeves. Like, we couldn't wear sleeves at all because of that game, that Tennessee game with all the fumbles.
Damn, I didn't know they literally.
I saw you playing in a hoodie once. You cut the sleeves off.
I cut the sleeves off. I had to. But it would be some games like I would warm up with a sleeve on, like just for the pictures. But I would have to take it off before the game started.
That's crazy. So that did they literally come out in a meeting and be like, "You guys can't wear sleeves ever again. Don't show up with sleeves."
No, I mean, it was just like
the Battle of the Bristol game as a result.
Yeah, it was kind of known when I came in, because I came in a year after that game. So it was just known everybody on offense couldn't wear sleeves. Like,
wow.
So I'm like, yo, how
it was like five, six fumbles though.
That it was a lot. Gotta have someone to take the fall, blame it on the sleeves.
I'm like, yo, I'm skinny, bro. I need long sleeves, bro. Oh, that was crazy. That was definitely the reason why we couldn't wear sleeves.
Trey, you wore.
I started looking for sleeves.
Trey, you wore like five different helmets in college, I think. what was your favorite helmet, man? You switched so many times. I just want to know, like, what was the best one?
Yo, I don't even know. I don't know how people realize, because I switch sometimes just for practice, like just for spring ball. I have a different helmet.
I love helmets, so I watch close.
Yeah, I mean, definitely that Zenith that I wore last year. That was my favorite.
That was the one you ended on. The last one you wore. That's the shadow, right? The new shadow.
The Shadow XR. That was hard. That was definitely hard. That was because it looked like a lacrosse helmet in a way.
Yeah, with the little lip on the back.
Yeah, but it was like the way my hair was out of the helmet, that was pretty hard. And then, you know, with a visor on, like it looked like a robot. It
was hard. I fucked with those. I mean, I don't really see them in the league though, in the NFL. I don't even know if they have them or not.
No, they had them. I had one when I was out in Vegas. They have them.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. What was the experience in Vegas like?
It was hot, but it was cool. Like it was definitely a good experience, like just to see how, you know, NFL meetings and how I can adjust the film and all that there. But it's like I don't know. I feel like I'm really good when it comes to learning the plays and knowing what to do. So I don't know. When there's no going out there and not having any MAs the time I was there, so that felt pretty cool. So I just knowing I can adjust the NFL. I was going to college.
You got to meet Devontae.
Oh, no, I didn't even get to meet him. He was there, though. Yeah. But, you know.
You saw him?
Yeah, I seen him. I'm not low. I was never really like an introvert. Like, I was more of an introvert until I kind of got up here. So, I don't know. Whenever it comes to, like, you know, big time name and stuff, I ain't going to be the one to just go out and just start talking to him. Like, I'm really looking at him like, yo, that's Devontae Adams. Like, that's Devontae Adams in the same building as me, but like, this is crazy. But I'm just thinking it in my head. I ain't even talking to him. Because at the same time, I'm in an NFL building. Like, I'm just learning. I'm quiet and learning everything. But then I'm on my shit at the same time. Like, coaches is liking me because I'm knowing all the plays. Like, I'm not messing nothing up. But I don't know. It just didn't like me compared to some of the tryout guys. And I can't blame nobody but myself.
No, it ain't about no blame. It's a numbers game, you know.
Yeah.
NFL's tough.
Yeah, it's only one ball.
But now I'm just glad I seen it now. But, yeah, that's exactly. That's I'm just glad I seen it now. So I just know, like, I know what it is. I know what I need to do. So I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. A lot of motherfuckers don't even get to touch it. Now you got to touch it. So, shit. Ain't nobody take that up from you. A college graduate, you got to touch the NFL. You gonna touch it again. We doing a lot better than a lot of these motherfuckers out here. Any important words of wisdom you got for the people?
Important words of wisdom. I don't know. When it comes to seeing everything on social media and stuff, like, just stop being so hateful. Like, I really hate how people are just so, like, just mad and angry all the time on the timeline. Like, bro, just lighten up a little bit, spread some love, kick back, just have fun with life. Like, don't look at anything as just as you're gonna start negativity on the timeline. I just feel like people's days really like revolve around like how the timeline is going. I'm like, yo, like, do you not have a life? Like really, like, be like, keep it hot. Like, have a, like, live your life.
Go outside, man. Touch grass.
Like, go outside. Don't worry about what's on your phone. Like people didn't used to have phones, social media. Like, I feel like this whole generation now is just so wrapped around our phone, but it sucks. So it's like, I don't know. Just get outside. You know, spread love. Don't spread no hate. That's not good for the world.
You heard it here.
And stay happy. First, stay happy.
Just be happy. Stay happy. Stay blessed. Stop being so hateful on the timeline. Unless it's Saturday and the team lose, then get your shit.
That would be. I mean, when it came to like when I was playing here, that was something. I mean, I'd be on social media. Like, I go on Twitter after the game.
Oh, yeah.
I look at everything. That'd be funny because I know certain plays. Like I mess up and I see somebody say something about me, but I just be weak about it. I'd be weak about it because I'm like, I know I messed up. Like I know it was me. But if some people are to look at it on Twitter and just be butthurt, like yo, it's Twitter, bro. It's Twitter, bro. Like, bro, there's people that's not playing, that's talking about you, bro, and you letting it affect you. Like, come on, brother, girl.
It's Twitter, bro. You was the first person that showed me about these fake insiders. You probably don't even know, or you probably do. Somebody told me one time, it was before your freshman season. They had asked me, they said, is Trey trying to play this year? I said, I heard he getting redshirted. And you said, where you hit it at? And I had to say, I was calling fake insider, bro. I was believing, bro.
I remember that.
I couldn't double down and be like, nigga, you getting redshirted. You know, I had to be like, bro, I heard it from somebody.
I was really wondering who said that, because I ain't had the conversation with nobody yet at that point. I'm like, yo, am I really about to get redshirted? Like,
what? Find it out on Twitter.
I definitely asked Wiggs. I'm like, so what's up? I'm like, yo, I'm about to get redshirted. Well, he's like, nah, just chill out. Don't let that Twitter. Don't let
that. The dude that told me that in the DM, like, that's why I be going in on fake insiders, because I got embarrassed on the timeline. So now I'm on the ass with a vengeance, because they got me embarrassed that one day. But
my fault.
You good? That's it for Dog V Friday, man. This was a fun one to do. A long time coming with a legend, bro. Trey Turner, man. We praying for your health, your safety, your mentals, all of that. Where can they find you at on social media?
Well, I'm gonna start off by saying I appreciate y'all for having me on here. I've been waiting some years to do this. I'm glad I finally got the time to do it. But Twitter, you can find me at Trey11Turner. Instagram at _Trey11_. You can find me on TikTok too at one Trey Turner one. That's my socials.
So, yeah, man. Shout out to you.
We appreciate it, man.
Tell me that you listen to me on the Don V Fridays, and I'll give you a little follow back.
Hell yeah. Hey, hell yeah.
Don V Fridays.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Three listeners this week. Might get us 3-4 listeners this week. Get a Trey Turner boost.
Hey, there we go.
Don't nobody listen to this podcast, bro. We like the, like there's like songs at the top, then it's like everybody else, and then it's like us at the bottom. We like the one for everybody.
I've been listening to you since you started, bro.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna cap, like, bro. Like, I'm telling you, like, I've been on social media. Like, I used to be on social media, so I'd be listening to podcasts. Like, I listen to y'all in the Suns. Like, that's how it was. But then it got to a point, like, during that 2020 season, I was listening straight down V Fridays. I'm not even gonna cap.
Oh, you had to, bro. You had to. It's therapy.
I really appreciate y'all, though.
Hell yeah. Hey, come back, bro. You welcome anytime.
I'll be talking shit, bro. I ain't even going.
I already know. Hey, shout out to the 49ers, though.
Hey.
Shout out to the Niners, though.
Oh, I'm mad that we had to sacrifice Trey's angle like that, but hey.
Like, damn. I just knew that. I knew that was going to happen, though. Like, I knew Jimmy G was going to end up back on the field, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Politics as usual.
You know how I go. But, hey, y'all have a blessed night, man.
God bless, man. Until next week, everybody, God bless.